Okay, so the classroom that I'm in is an SDC class, elementary, 3rd through 5th grade. It's considered SH or severely handicapped. It currently has 7 students, 6 boys and 1 girl. All ranging in regards to their capabilities and as well as their disabilities. The classroom layout, we're in room 10. We have a few tables. We have a big breakfast table where everyone sits. There's a couple big round tables for the whole group instruction, especially during morning meeting, read alouds, things of that sort of nature. We have a little reading corner next to our calendar area. Students sometimes go there for a read aloud, but it's usually designated for one of our students. That's one of his designated areas. We also have another designated area for a student that's particularly physical at times. So he is not separated from the rest of the class, but he has his own little corner that he could go to in case he gets a little agitated and whatnot, and to kind of prevent any mishaps to other students occurring. There's a white table and a TV. Like I said, there's a little calendar there that we do for morning meeting every morning. Or they do for morning meeting. There's a couple kidney tables for small group instruction, a little sensory area for toys, with toys and sensory tangibles for when kids earn a break or earn a reward for either completion of a task or good behavior. And we have a TV with a whiteboard. And I think that's about it with the whole classroom. Well, they don't have their own restroom. They have their own sink and faucet for kids need water and things of that sort of nature. They have a changing table in the back just in case. A microwave, a refrigerator, and that's about it. Okay, so this is Mrs. Hum, our classroom teacher. Just gonna ask her a few questions. So number one, what type of environment is conducive to learning that you feel?
Well, it depends on the student's needs. Okay. You know, like some students require like preferential seating away from distractions, or small group instruction, uh-huh. because they easily get distracted by what they see or what they hear uh-huh. in the environment. And then there are some students that are able to block those out and just focus. Uh-huh. So it really depends. But I think typically you need like less distraction, the uh-huh. better in our classroom.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So kind of leading into that, what are classroom management styles and how do they affect student learning?
Well, that also depends again on the student. Everything is dependent on the student
exactly,
needs.
Exactly.
Obviously in our classroom, because like in the gen ed setting, it's more like you could use one behavior management mm-hmm. style that, you know, it applies to everyone. Yeah. But we have like students here that benefit from like immediate like reinforcement mm-hmm. like, you know, once they do one thing then you reward them immediately mm-hmm. and then there's also students that work like a token system where they build into uh-huh. earning something so
versus
that's
that
one yeah and then I think for my classroom it really helps to have visuals what we have on the board where like eyes looking at the teacher, we have a picture of what that looks like, or like, you know, crisscross applesauce when we're on the carpet, or visuals really help too. So, and then just cueing and reminders.
Got you. So this is a big one for me. How do teachers know when the students have learned the material?
Well
obviously it's going to be dependent on each student.
But I think, on the progress, I guess, because like, uh-huh. well, with the special needs students, they all have like an IEP goal,
oh,
and then so like we measure the progress what three times a year because there's three trimesters in our school. So then you'll see, okay, where are first you could do a lot of teachers do where when the students come, you get like a bench or like a baseline, of the students' skills. Uh-huh. And then, you know, later on when you're going to report on their progress, you can test to see where they're at in terms of the baseline. Have they improved or like, that's, yeah.
That teachers test themselves, like when they get the kids or like when, is this baseline getting from teachers beforehand, like that the kids have?
Sometimes, it's baseline when I get the kids. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So like, you know, I do that. I don't even do that formally. Sometimes I'm just like observing and then I note down that, okay, this is what I've seen, you know, and sometimes you can also do it like formally, like really assess, like give a test.
Because that's what Mr. Richardson was saying last semester, that it's not, I mean, you have your IEP goals and you're trying to check them off, this and that, like 4 out of 5 trials and whatnot.
Yeah.
But he said you could also use, I mean, you had to write in the goal, but in their IEP, but you could use like, classroom performance or like, I forgot what he said, but there's a term.
There's all these like little. Yeah,
where it's not just like a test or like a, you could use.
Yeah, they have like benchmarks.
Yeah.
And then they have reading records, like the gen ed kids get, or even RSB kids, I think some of them do the reading records to see where they're at in terms of reading fluency.
Okay.
And then our classroom, you know, the skills of our students are very like low compared to those kids. So it's just observations of, you
that's
know.
That's what he, classroom observations. Like, okay, so it's not, because I know some students are good test takers and they might be knocking out of the park, you know, during centers or during instructional time, but then you bring them to, okay, here's the actual test and they're, you know, they and for whatever reason or not, I mean, you know.
Well, obviously, when you teach a lesson, like a mini lesson, you could check for understanding throughout the lesson, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, but then, just the progress and goals, then the best way to see if there's progress is to get a baseline when you get them.
Okay, that makes sense. So last two, what is an instructor's role in helping students learn?
I think really the teacher's job is not to teach, because it's like, you can't help somebody that doesn't want help, right? So it's like you facilitate learning. I think the hardest part of teaching is how are you going to like motivate your students so that they will want to learn?
Because
learning comes easy when they're motivated, when they're ready.
Yeah.
So that's why with a lot of times in our classroom, we address behavior before we address academics. Because if they're not going to be able to sit and listen, you're not gonna get anything.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. You gotta sequentialize and. Yeah. I hear you. And then last one, how do teachers select the way students will learn or interact with material?
Well, you'll have to see. You know, do they what supports they need? Like, you know, like will they need like visual support? Will they need attention support? Expressive language support? You know, because there's all sorts of things. You have students that. Have auditory processing difficulties, so they may not understand verbal or like the orally presented material. That just like okay, I didn't hear anything you said. So you need to supplement that with like visuals or graphics and symbols. Then you have students that, you know, it's like they get it, they hear it, but they don't recall it.
Yeah.
So it's like it all depends on what they need.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your time, Mrs. Hum. And that's it.
You're welcome. Ooh. I hope that was helpful.
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
Oh, okay.
So it was great hearing from Mrs. Hum. Got a lot from that interview. One of my biggest takeaways was, and some of the stuff we discussed before, was, and it's a big issue like in SDC classes, is just like the behavioral aspects or issues. And the big thing is, I want to say try to nip it in the butt, but trying to modify the behavior so that it doesn't impede learning. And that's my biggest takeaway, just not impeding learning of the student or especially of others. So you kind of just have to take the behaviors, or that takes the driver's seat first and foremost, addressing the behaviors. So then... To make a more conducive environment for learning, not only for the student but also for his or her classmates. I also like talking about the goals in regards to mastery, of understanding and knowing the material, mastering the material. That's one thing too. I always kind of as many credential courses as I take, as I always forget that it always comes down to those goals, especially when you have IEPs, those IEP goals or benchmarks, or, you know, for Gen Ed, it is addressing those goals and doing your best to meet them. But, you know, you have your content and whatnot, but it's always comes down to those goals. And I know it was great hearing from an experienced teacher in regards to classroom management, behaviors, and then, you know, creating a conducive environment conducive for learning. And yeah, that's about it.